But I was telling Melissa on the way over here, I said, man, I got a whopper of a message. And it is definitely for today's day and age. I was pondering this yesterday as I was sitting in my study and found this over in Romans. If you got your Bibles turned with me in Romans chapter 13. I don't know what brought me to this scripture. I think I might have been looking for a certain word, looking that up and trying to find it, or a verse or something. But when I read this, and the more I thought about it, the more I pondered it, the more I felt that this is what the Lord wanted me to preach on. And that was confirmed this morning, and ever since then, he just gave me more scripture, more scripture, more scripture to go with it, more thoughts. See, a lot of people like to rush things. They like to get their hands wet, and they like to jump into things, but sometimes you just got to let the Spirit work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to meditate on it a little bit, let it just incubate, let it marinate. And that's what I had to do with this message. So, in chapter 13 of Romans, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Amen.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's as far as we're going to read this morning. A little bit of reading there, but I believe if the Lord be my helper, I'm going to try to tie all this together. But as I read this, I begin to think, you know, this is definitely some scripture for the day and age we live in today. In this nation, and no doubt all over the world, we see a big uprising of chaos and a big uprising of disorder and rejection of order and rejection of authority. And I begin to look at this and begin to think about what Paul had to tell the Romans here. Now, the Romans were under Roman rule, obviously. Rome was a nation that had ruled for, I believe it was maybe centuries. I don't remember. It had been a while since I've studied on that. But we know that Rome lasted for many, many years. And we see that Paul here was telling the people of Rome here, most likely the Christians of Rome, that they needed to be subject unto these authorities that were over them because God had ordained them to do so.
Yeah.
And the authorities that they had back then were people like Caesar. And Caesar is mentioned, you know, in the New Testament, in the Bible, in the Gospels, where there's going to pay taxes. Should we render unto Caesar, or should we give unto God? And Jesus told him, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's,
right,
and render unto God what is God's. And begins to tell him here, Paul begins to kind of relate the same message to these people. He said, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power, there's no authority, except it come from God.
Yeah.
Amen. And we see, he says, the powers that be, those that are in authority, are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth that authority, resisteth the ordinance of God.
Yeah.
And it's a very dangerous thing to find yourself on the opposite end of God and resisting and fighting against Him. Many people we see today in these different social movements and these different movements that are going on are putting themselves on the opposite side of God. because of the people that he has set in order to govern us. Amen. Now, I don't agree with everything the president says. I don't agree with everything the congressmen do. I don't agree with everything that's going on. But I am, by the word of God, supposed to be subject unto their authority, because God has set them over us, that they may accomplish His will, whether they want to or whether they know it or not, they're accomplishing God's will. We look in Ezekiel and we find later on, in the end of days, that God had put a hook in the jaws of a nation to come and do His will, whether they realized it or not. God can take this nation and use it for His glory if we'll just resist the devil, have him to flee from us, and we submit ourselves unto God, not only God, but His authority. I hope I'm making sense this morning. But as we read this, he says, they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or condemnation. Notice when you resist the policeman, what's going to happen? They call it resisting arrest. What's going to happen to you? You're going to receive condemnation. You're going to receive judgment. You're going to go to court. Right. You're going to be thrown in jail. Who knows what else is going to happen to you?
Yeah.
Why is that? Because there is a hierarchy established that God has established.
Right.
Mankind has kind of done the way things they want to do it. They've got a system established. But God is still the father of the way things are working around in here. Used to be they relied on God. If we look down through the ages of time and we look down the Old Testament, they used to rely on God. They'd follow God when the cloud would arise and would go off. They'd pitch their tent. They'd lose their tent. And they'd follow God. And wherever that cloud rested, they'd pitch their tent right there. And they'd stay with God until He led them somewhere else.
Right.
But time went on by and they began to get upset. They began to murmur. And they began to complain. And they began to want more. They didn't realize that God was all they ever needed. They wasn't satisfied with God. And they begged for a king. And they wanted a king. Why is that? Because they saw all the other nations had a king.
Yeah.
And so they begged Samuel, we want a king. We want a king. We want a king. At all costs, we want a king.
Yeah.
That's the way Israel used to be, and that's the way the world is today. We'll take what we want, forget whatever else the punishment is. Back when Jesus was crucified, they said, we want Him crucified and His blood be upon our children. We'll sacrifice our children for this sake. So they wanted a king, and here comes Saul. One of the worst kings there ever was. Mm-hmm. Amen. He was ordained, he was anointed, and he failed at being a king. And God had another man set up who said, you want a king? All right, we'll do it your way. But he still wanted his man in the kingdom. Saul wasn't God's man. He was always just about like Israel. He would murmur, complain, he would disobey.
Yeah.
He would put things on the side. He was told to go slay all the things in a certain kingdom. I believe it was Amalekites, I want to say. It could have been the Agagites, one or the other. But he was told to slay all the cattle, all the animals, all the people, everything. Just completely wipe out that nation. Because they were idol worshippers. They were pagans. They didn't want to have anything to do with God. And they were coming against God's authority. And they received the condemnation of God. Well, Saul comes and he says, well, I'm going to keep the best flock for God to sacrifice. Well, the thing is, God didn't want the pagan sacrifices. He had plenty. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He got plenty of lands elsewhere. And so Saul said, I'm going to take the best of the flock. I'm going to use it for God.
Bless
the Lord. And God knew about this beforehand. He told Samuel had heard the bleeding of the sheep. He said, what is this bleeding in my ears? These sheep are bleeding. There's not supposed to be a sound or nothing. It's supposed to be a pin drop. And you'll be able to hear nothing. And because of the disobedience of Saul, he was rent the kingdom from him, and it was given to another, and that was David. That was the man that God had put in his place. And later on, time goes by. We just read about a king of Babylon.
Yeah.
Back then, in those days, they had kings. They weren't really governments, so to speak, but they had kings, and below them, they would have servants and other people that would go out and be ambassadors for them. And we talked about in Daniel this morning, they had all kinds of different titles. They were counselors, sheriffs, princes, and all this other stuff. There's a hierarchy with a king being the head. We talked about this morning that Babylonian statue that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his dream. There was a head that controlled the rest of the body. And in the hierarchy, in the way things work, we have a king. Below that, we have lesser people, lesser people, lesser people, until we get to the bottom, and that's the kingdom itself.
Right.
That's the people that live in the kingdom. Well, we see today we have a president, we have Congress, we have the judicial system. We got three basic heads Below that, we got police officers, we got National Guard, Army, yeah. we got Navy, we got all this other stuff, and it keeps going down until it gets to the citizens.
Yeah.
Now, let me go back to my point. What happens when you resist arrest? You go to jail,
yeah.
you get fined, all kinds of stuff yeah. happen to you. Why is that? Because this nation and many other governments are set up to abide by the laws that are set up.
Right.
Without law, there is chaos.
Right.
Without law, there is chaos. If you don't have some kind of system in place, there's no order. And God is a God of order. We can't look at the solar system and the planets and the universe and say, well, God's just random, like the evolutionists say. God's got this little bitty earth spinning around the sun. How many ever miles an hour it's going? 24/7, 365 days a year. And He's got all order. Never has it lost its course. Never has it went off sideways somewhere. If it was random, it would have just been doing whatever and there'd be no life on this planet. God has got this planet and the rest of the planets in His hand. He is in control. He is sovereign not only of our community, not only of our government.
Amen.
He's sovereign over the world and the universe.
Yeah. That's right.
He is the ultimate sovereign. He's coming back to be the king of this world. What a privilege it is that God chose this world to come and be a king over.
Yeah.
Amen. There's no such thing as aliens because there'd be another kingdom that could be established on a different world. Amen. God created man in His image, and in His image He made man, and then He created woman from man. Everybody knows the basics.
Yeah.
If you can't live with that and can't deal with it, then you're not going to be in the kingdom. Amen.
That's right.
You have to abide by what the king says and what the laws say that are established from the king. And today we have all kinds of riots, we got all kinds of revolts, people are upset with the government. Well, that's fine if you're upset with them. Go vote.
Right.
I mean, we have that establishment in place. Now, sometimes I feel like my vote don't count for nothing. Sometimes I feel like the voting system is rigged, but that ain't up to me. It's up to me to do my part and let God deal with the rest.
Amen.
Amen. That's all we can do. We pray for our leaders. We're supposed to pray for them and they're over us. We're supposed to be in subjection to them because they are God's ministers. Whether they claim to be or not, God is in control.
Right.
Let's read on a little further. Rulers are not, verse 3, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. When evil abounds, amen, we see that hopefully holy men, men that are in charge for the reason of the good, will punish evil. Now, there are many nations that are dealing with evil governments. We was talking about Kim Jong-un this morning about Korea over there. I don't even know whatever happened to him. He disappeared for a few weeks and I ain't heard nothing from him since. We know of evil regimes like Adolf Hitler. We know of Saddam Hussein. We know of many other dictators and everything like that. But guess what? They came and they went. And God's still here.
That's exactly right.
This is all coming to pass because God's got a blueprint. He's got a plan set in motion. And these things have to come to pass for that plan to be fulfilled. We see in Jesus, over in Matthew chapter 24, He talks about nation rising against nation, wars and rumors of war, earthquakes, famines, pestilences in diverse places. And I want you to notice something. I begin to think about this. We don't see a nation really coming against America right now. But we're tearing ourselves apart from within.
Yeah, exactly.
I begin to be reminded of Gideon over there in Judges chapter 6. Gideon was able to defeat the army of the Midianites. It said that they were just like grasshoppers spread out and their camels were like the sand of the sea. I mean, in a valley it was so full that you couldn't even comprehend how many people was there. And God sent Gideon and 300 men to take them all out.
Yeah.
That's God.
They won.
They won. We was talking about them mortar tactics yesterday about how they put the ice on them. That was kind of like a trick that Gideon then used. They had a bunch of earthen vessels and they broke them off at the same time. It sounded like millions of soldiers. It scared them all. Guess what happened? Many knights destroyed themselves.
Yeah.
They turned their swords on each other. Yeah. What's happening in America today? We're fighting each other. Because this one over here don't like what this one has to say. And that one don't like what this one has to say. And we talked about pride this morning. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit, a puffed up spirit before a fall. We see that throughout history. Nebuchadnezzar was prideful. God was able to abase him. The devil was prideful. God was able to cast him out of heaven. Everybody that's been prideful has been able to be put in their place. God is the one that does that. He is the ultimate supreme ruler. He is the one that says, vengeance is mine and I will repay.
Yeah.
We're not to do the repaying. We're the citizens. He's the king.
Yeah.
Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Without then not be afraid of the power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, they give out these rewards whenever you're a good citizen. They give the citizenship award. They give you the keys to the city or whatever it is. You get rewarded by being a good citizen, not just because you're complying with the rules, but because it's a good thing to do. And a lot nowadays we have their idea of good isn't the idea of God's good anymore. But he's saying here, do you not realize that you get rewarded for being a good citizen, not only on this earth, but in heaven? God will do the honoring, the ultimate honoring. Because he says, do that which is good, thou shalt have praise of the same, for he, that is the authority, the power, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. What's that? That's the punishment. That's the condemnation. That's the judgment. The sword is a representation of that. He said he's not bearing the sword in vain. He's got a minister and he's got every right to use it. Think of that as the paddle in school. Mm-hmm. That's the disciplinary unit of measure. Used to be anyway. It's not anymore. I remember when one of my teachers, he had a paddle that was about this long and had holes drilled into it. When you got paddle, you knew it.
That's right.
And guess what? Those kids stayed in line. There was no slap on the wrist. Go out and you'll be fine.
Right.
You know. It meant it. And God means it. What he says, he means.
Yeah.
Be afraid, because he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. What is Paul calling this man? He's God's minister. He stands in place for God to carry out judgment. He tells us not to revenge, because vengeance is mine, but he says that this man that's in rule is a revenger. He is in a high place of authority because he has to rule over everybody. A whole nation, a whole country, a whole government, a whole kingdom.
Yeah.
God has given him certain authorities that me and you don't have the liberty to have. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Who's he repaying by? He could repay by signs and wonders. He could repay by the ministry set in order to be that revenger, to execute that judgment upon them that doeth evil. I think this is a message for our day, because we're seeing all this chaos in the world. They don't want to have anything to do with government. They don't want to have anything to do with what things have been going on. And when this election takes place here in November, I believe it's going to be chaos.
Yes.
Whoever gets the vote, whoever gets the presidency, I don't know what's going to happen. But I don't believe it's going to be an orderly thing, because every time you go out to a poll or you go out to a political debate, you see it on, all they do is bring up each other's dirt.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be nice if we had a couple of candidates who'd be like, man, look what this guy did. And they, you know how it used to be? You'd go and say, you'd open the door for somebody. Oh, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, just go on ahead.
Yeah.
How is it that we have that kind of manners? We go to a dinner. We have the guests go first.
Yeah.
You go ahead. No, you go. We want to get them out of our way to prefer somebody else of ourselves.
Right.
What would it be like if we had a presidential election where we couldn't decide on who to vote for because they were just so nice to each other?
Yeah.
We ain't going to get that. I guarantee you. No. We ain't going to get that. Bunch of dirt drugged up.
Yeah.
About their past, about what they've done. You know, I mean, if the way we're going, I don't see why they just don't kick everybody out of the house and just start all from scratch. And it may end up coming down to that. God may just wipe the whole thing out. America ain't going to last forever. No kingdom except God's kingdom will last forever.
Amen.
There is a deadline. And we're racing down it real quick. He begins to tell them all these other things about paying their taxes. Pay tribute. Pay their taxes. All these other things that you should do. Why? Because this goes towards the funding of doing God's will. But I want you to notice, I find it very interesting. I didn't notice this before, but I find it very interesting as we look down here. He begins to talk about how our salvation is nearer than when we believed. We thought it was coming, but now it's even nearer than what we thought. What does that have to do with anything? This happened when there were revolts and people rising up against government. I mean, hello, somebody. We need to wake up. And that's what Paul says. It's time to wake up. When you see all these things happening, our salvation is dearer than we first believed. And this is exactly what's happening in the world today, not only in America, but whenever one nation starts to rise up and revolt, we find that that spreads out, other people hear about it, and they start rising up and revolting, and all this other stuff comes around, and we see that before long, there's a guy in the place, in the works, that comes out of the woodworks, and he's called the Antichrist. And he sets up a kingdom for himself. And I don't have time to go into all that, but the Antichrist is a man that is straight from the devil that's going to come and try to establish himself as God, himself as Christ, and basically start World War III, Armageddon. It is ripe to happen right now because nobody wants anybody's authority. They want themselves to rule over themselves.
That's right.
And back in Kings and Judges, they feel that which is right in his own eyes because they didn't have a king to rule over. They didn't have nobody. Nowadays, we don't respect anybody. So that's the same as not having anybody. So we're just going to do our own thing. And instead of seeking God's wisdom on things, instead of seeking God's learning and understanding, I'm glad we're in Daniel because I'm learning a lot about how we should deal with our government today.
Yeah.
Amen. We see that Daniel respected the king. Even though he was a king of a different nation, he came and took Israel captive. He respected him.
Yeah.
He was not a godly king. He was a pagan worshiper. He established a statue in his own image for people to come and bow down and worship. But Daniel respected him.
Yeah.
Why? Because that was God's mandate.
Amen.
That was ordained of God. Anytime in the Old Testament you see that God has said, I'm going to get you out of this land. I'm going to bring you back in your nation. What does that mean? That means no matter who's in charge, God's in charge. God's going to be the ultimate authority. He's going to do what he said he'd do. And one thing we didn't talk about this morning, I learned a long time ago. Them three Hebrew children, you know why they didn't bow down? It wasn't just because they believed God. Believed who he was. Because they shouldn't worship an idol. It was because they knew of a promise that God had made many years ago. That after that, if they would just do what the people of that land told them to do, if they would just comply and obey, that God would bring them back into the land, amen, that he took them out of in the first place. Then three Hebrew children believed in a God who was able to deliver, but he was not only able to deliver, he was able to bring them back in the promised land, amen. That's what ultimately was in their hearts, I believe. Amen, they knew God was going to, one of these days, folks, God's going to deliver us into a promised land like none ever been on this earth. Amen. And he's going to come down. He's going to come back with glory.
Yeah.
Every eye's going to see him. Every knee's going to bow. And we'll not have any problems recognizing who he is when he comes.
Right.
Amen. That's what we need to be working for. Amen. We obey it here and now because we know that there's a greater kingdom coming.
Amen.
We know that there's a promise that God had made. Even though our lawmakers and our rulers right now seem to be paganistic, seem to be secular, don't have anything to do with God, we go on because God is in ultimate authority and he's bringing something better one day after a while.
Right.
We may not even see it while we're here on this earth. Abraham and all them, they saw the promises afar off. They looked for a better country. Some of those people that were children of Israel, they were wrapped up in Israel or Egypt for 400 some odd years. They didn't get to see the promised land. But, amen, it still came nonetheless. And in the resurrection day, that's what's going to decide. Amen. If you're washed in the blood, you're going to be able to see the promised land one day after a while. It's coming. It's a promise that God has not forgot about. He's not neglected. He's not slack concerning his promise. And that's the promise of his coming. Amen. I'm asking Melissa to come to the piano. I feel like I'm clear. I had a lot more places to go. There's a lot more stuff relating to this.
Bless you.
But I just touched on a little bit of the surface. Everybody stand at wood. I don't know what the need will be regarding to this, but I know that us as Christians ought to be an example. We're supposed to be peculiar people. We're supposed to be sanctified. We're supposed to be set apart different from the world. What you see in the world today is how the world acts. That's how you expect the world to act.
Amen.
But us Christians aren't supposed to act like that.
Right.
We're supposed to be subject to the higher powers because that ultimate power is set up by God himself.
Amen.
If God is speaking to your heart this morning about anything, that's something you need to do. Job came earlier because he felt like God wanted him to do something.
Yeah.
If you feel God's wanting you to do something, whatever it is, come get it settled. whatever it is.
Blessed Lord.
It may be pray for your loved ones. It may be pray for yourself. It may be, Lord, help me with my job. Lord, help me. You may be lost. I don't know anybody's heart's condition here. God does. And He can have empathy for that. The Bible says we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In other words, He feels your pain. He's been through it already. How many times have you been through this world and people try to console you and you think, man, you don't even know what is going on in my life. You haven't walked in my shoes. You don't know what's going on. God does. He's been there. He made it all. He's seen it all. That old commercial they have about the insurance, you know, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. That's God. He's seen it all. He knows. You can trust Him with whatever's bothering you. I don't know how you're going to take this message today. I don't know what you're going to do with it. But it was meant to be. And so I encourage you to read the Word. What does the Word have to say about everything? Trust in God for the ultimate deliverance one day after a while. And do the best you can to be a good citizen of the nation you're living in. Because that's what God has commanded us. As you play softly, I leave it in your hands. What you do now is between you and God. Let me just read real quickly the other places that I had bookmarked here. Ephesians talking about putting on the whole armor of God. It says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, the world is wrestling today against people, against each other. But our battle is not against them. It's against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle. It's not a carnal battle. We need to keep our eyes on the spiritual battle. Another place, Matthew over here in chapter 26, just two chapters after 24, which deals with the end times and the things. Peter, we find that smote off one of the servant's ears, the servant to the high priest. His name was Malchus. Jesus told him to put his sword up and he healed the servant's ear. He told Moses, live by the sword, die by the sword.
That's right.
Amen. Jesus came to establish peace. It wasn't his time yet. So Peter, he was always kind of, you know, anxious, and he was jumping the gun a lot anyway. A lot of people do that today. One more place I'll take you to, and that's number 16. We find that the rebellion of Korah, you've probably heard that name, Korah. They took several hundred men, I believe it was, and they came against Moses and Aaron and against God's authority. And they tried to say, well, we are more qualified to rule this nation than you are. And then later on we find, because of their rebellion, God opened the earth and it swallowed all of them. And those that weren't swallowed were consumed with fire. Yeah. And those that weren't consumed with fire were killed by a plague.
Yeah.
That's how serious God takes this. That's how serious we should take it.
Right.
As Christians. Amen. You know, another verse that came to my mind was Psalm 9:17 that all talk about the wicked. That let me just go over here and read it real quick. Psalm 9:17. So the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Another place that said God is angry with the wicked every day.
Yeah.
What's that mean? It means they'll be destroyed.
Yeah.
Those that forget God. This nation is beginning to forget God.
Oh, yeah.
244 years ago, as you mentioned earlier, this nation declared its independence as a separate country from England, their motherland.
Yeah.
Well, today, we're declaring independence from God.
Yeah.
We don't want them in our pledge of allegiance. We don't want them in our schools.
Yeah.
We don't want them in our churches. We don't want them in our families.
Yeah.
We don't want them in our government. We're getting exactly what we want.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to get back to praying for this nation. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and return from their ways. You know what turn from their ways is? That's repentance. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God will heal, forgive, and heal if we'll just do our part. As Christians, it's up to us. He said, if my people. He didn't say if the world. He said, if my people. We're His people.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us to get the nation back where it needs to be before it's too late. Anything else?